Amen, 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 amen. Wow. So I was already excited, Encounter Life Church, just from what you all are going to hear this morning, because I got a little taste of it, and I was like, man, I felt like I needed to be taking notes. But I'm really excited, especially today, because we do have a guest speaker today, but I'm excited to be here with you, for those of you all who are joining us in the house or on campus, definitely those of you all who are joining us online, thank you so much for being with us today. We are in our last, I believe, Sunday of August, and Pastor Dwayne and his wife are getting some R&R, so he is praying for us, and I spoke to him this morning, but today we have a special treat, so I'm really excited. But before we bring up our speaker for today, I do want to mention something that I don't want to forget to share with you, and that is that on the 11th of September, there will be graduation here, so make sure that you all are prepped for that. If you are online and you've never been to a service, make sure you come out and join us for graduation, and next Sunday will be Communion Sunday as well. I wanted to share those things to make sure that they don't get past me today. So I hope you all are feeling good today. I hope that you all enjoy praise and worship today. I am really excited because actually over the past couple of weeks, you've got to hear from some other folks in Encounter Life Church. And Pastor Dwayne has been able to take a little bit of a break from the pulpit. And today you are going to hear the culmination of the different speakers you've had for August. And we will see Pastor Dwayne again next month. But today I'd like to welcome, he is not a newcomer, a lot of you all have known him since he's been a little boy, but I believe what he has to share today is going to be very powerful. So please welcome David Nutt as he comes to bring us today's message.
Thanks, Al. Thank you, thank you. All right, all right. It's good to be able to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be able to speak to Encounter Life Church. How are you all doing today? All right, awesome. And for you all who are online, it is good to be able to do what you do. But you're invited, and we welcome you. We're thankful for the opportunity to be able to be around this word today. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into our word. Father God, Lord, you are holy, dear God. Lord, you're awesome. You are good. We sing praises to you, dear God. We have the opportunity to be able to come before you and bring our requests before you boldly. We have this opportunity to gather together as saints to hear and to receive, to be encouraged, Lord God. I pray now, Lord, that I will only speak from your heart, Lord, that I will only say the things that you would have me to say, dear God. If anything does not need to be said, keep it. I thank you, Lord, for those who are here, Father. I pray, Lord, that our hearts and minds will be prepared and that they will be open to hear and listen and apply. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll start off with a question. When you think about love, what are some words that come to your mind? You can call it out. What are some words that come to your mind? Who said actions? All right. Happiness. All right. Trust, sacrifice, happiness, actions, trust. I may have forgotten one other one, but yeah, those are some of the things that we think about when we think about love. Commitment is another one, right? Commitment. You're very enthused to give those words. As the internet says, keep that same energy. Keep that same energy. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I'll read it again. Do not sacrifice, commit, draw your happiness, commit your actions to this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And here's the other part. It says, dear children, this is the last hour. And you have heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. A word to us to reevaluate our relationship with this world. That's what this verse is. Right now, here's some statistics. Right now, in America alone, there is over 5,000 separate individual cults. In the world, there's over 4,200 separate individual religions. And there's a weird thing going on now. We live in a society that is inviting and enjoys the idea of spiritual things that have nothing to do with God. We live in a time where it is no longer taboo to believe in crystals, special incantations, spells, all different types of things. And yet, as Christians, sometimes we can forget and to reevaluate our relationship with this world. The warning here is that there's a number of things going on. Three things, to be exact. It says, one, the world is passing away. We know that term to be used in death. When something is passing away, it's dying. And God's just being honest with us in His Word. He's saying this world is dying. Not only that, it's the last hour. It is the last hour. Now, I know when somebody says something 2,000 years ago and then they say it's the last hour 2,000 years ago, it's hard to gauge. It's hard to gauge exactly where we're at in that timeline. However, remember that our God is not slow as some count slowness. He's patient. He's a loving God, and He does not want us to get caught up in what's coming. He does not want us to be found in a place where the world backs us up against the wall and we fall. Let's look at what love is. In the noun, it just means to love. But when you look at the deeper context of it, it means to prefer. Do not prefer this world. The things we lust over, the things that draw our attention, the lust of the flesh, the things we desire just naturally. It's not even necessarily wrong, the things that we desire naturally. It could be sex. It could be food. It could be money. It's not necessarily wrong until you act on it and your relationship with it takes a higher place than our relationship with God. We put God here and we go after the bag. We go after the person that we have of interest, that we're interested in. Regardless of what God said, regardless of the will of God in any particular, whatever He is saying about that particular area in your life, when we have not drawn the line, when we are not pursuing God's will, when we are okay with our position in the world and okay with whatever lust we're in or whatever pursuit we're okay with, we're in a bad place. And this warning comes to us and it comes to Christians because in another text it says, little children. It's telling us, hey, look, you're already in the relationship with Christ. You already have the foundation. But now I need you to be aware and I need you to reevaluate your relationship with this world. I'm going to be honest with you. Knowing that it's the last hour, knowing that the enemy of our flesh is coming, the Antichrist is coming, there is a time wherein God allows Satan to do what he wants to do. If you remember, there are a couple of it happened with Job. It happened with Judas. Everybody remembers that point, right? Wherein Judas is sitting at the table with Jesus and he is getting to betray him. But Jesus, not necessarily talking to Judas, he's speaking to Satan. And he says, what you do, do quickly. When the Antichrist comes, he's getting that same message. What you do, do quickly. And we have a warning and we have an admonition from God on this as well. Can we go to Revelations? Revelations chapter 13, verse 10. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Whatever society has for us in store, God has given us a warning. This isn't one of those times wherein we get to. It's a time to hunker down. It's a time to look at God's word and reevaluate and say, hey, look, where do I stand? What am I going to do? The world is against me. It has a natural enemy in me. However, we have encouragement from God's word. We have what we need in Christ. Remember, he says we have everything we need in Christ. Through the knowledge of Christ, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so, when we look at something as daunting as it is, the last hour, the Antichrist is coming. He's going to be able to do whatever he wants for the period of time that God gives him to be able to do it. And yet, we find from Scripture God's will and the encouragement to stand, as Scripture tells us to stand. He says, even therefore now, stand in the freedom you have in Christ Jesus. The word gives us the real deal of what's going on, but it tells us that we conquer and we overcome. But it also tells us, hey, this is how you don't slip up. This is how you don't get caught up. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they're all tools of the enemy to keep you ineffective, to keep you from being able to stand when you need to stand. We've all been in those uncomfortable situations in the break room or something like that when a conversation has come up and the opportunity to proclaim the gospel or to take your stand is really, really difficult. Really, really difficult. To the point wherein you have to weigh whether I'm going to speak the truth or possibly get an email that says I'm out. And that's happening in real time in the world. Reevaluate your relationship with this world. Proofread your life. Go back over it and look at it and see if there's anything in you and in me where we can be tripped up by the enemy and be ineffective. I'm not going to be here before you long. I don't think this is that type of message. But the truth is that for us, God has given us what we need. He's told us what's coming. He's telling us how to stand. You see, knowing those things that are going to come isn't enough to stop you from being entangled and trapped by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Knowing those things is not enough. But he does give us the information we need to be able to tackle it. The world and its desires are passing away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. The will of God. Knowing for yourself why he has created you, and specifically in your everyday life, what is the will of God? That takes us right back to the reason we get up every morning and pursue him first, put him first. What is your will for my life this day? As I bring before you the things that I'm concerned about in my life today, what is your will? It says, walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We don't hear these preachings just to hear a good word. We hear these preachings so that we're effective as the only witnesses to the true gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And the only real truth that this world needs in order to be saved. Dear children, this is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. I know everybody's been on TikTok or whatever your preferred form of social media, and you come across somebody who's saying something outrageous. They sprinkle a little God in it, and it's like you hear the crowd in the back, and they're going for it. They are going for it. But if you listen carefully, some of those things are directly opposed to God. Directly. That's the reason why we need to be more careful. We have to. I have to. I have to look at my life and say, where does this fit in? Where am I aligning myself with the will of God? Because if I'm not, they got something for you. They got something for you. With 4,000 over 5, well, essentially 10,000 different beliefs, they got something for you. For every type of personality, for every type of kink, for every type of preference, they have something for you. And it's all designed and it's all cupped in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to keep you from knowing the truth, and if you have the truth, ineffective in spreading it. The people of God must take a stand. The people of God must know who they are. We must know who we are. It's not enough to be, I love God, I'm a Christian. You must know the individual will of God for your life. And that takes a deeper intentionality and preference, love. That takes a deeper love for us to be able to bring that out and give it to the world. Therefore, brothers, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, and I'm coming to a close. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, therefore, brothers and sisters, be diligent to make your calling and election sure so that you do not stumble. it's going to be really difficult when it's hard to buy something because of what you believe. It's going to be really difficult if God tarries longer than we thought he was going to, and we end up in more troubling times than we had actually intended to be in. I know that we're banking on the rapture. When it gets real bad, God's coming in. He's going to get us. COVID was bad, but it wasn't third world bad in this country. And so the truth is that we have to know the will of God, because if we don't, we won't be diligent. You won't make your calling and election sure. Somebody be able to tell you, well, this is the way, walk in it. And if your food and bed are dependent on that, your calling is whatever they're saying it is for that day. And the world lost another light, another opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember in scripture where the disciples said they were telling Jesus, this is a hard saying. Accept it. This is a hard saying. But there's life. There's life. There's effectiveness. And there's glory on the other side if we do the will of God. Know who we are called to be in Christ Jesus. Remember your crown. Remember the reward is with him. Remember when he comes, the reward is there, but it goes back. It goes back. You won't be able to do that. You won't be able to think about the crown. You won't be able to think about his glory and all the other things that come with it if you don't do the basics. What's God's will for my life? Did I bring it hopefully full circle? The will of God for your life. That's the only effective instrument. Yes, what is God's will? Well, he wants us to know his word. He wants us to abide in him. He desires that we worship him. He desires that we know him intimately. He said, I want them to be one even as we are one. He desires an intimate relationship with all of us. And that is the effective tool that's able to come up against the enemy. That's the effective tool that keeps you standing when everything else that you used to want or need is on the line. It's in that moment that God says, look, I'm strong where you're weak. I'm strong where you're weak. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. We don't have to have all of it, but we do have to have some. We need the will of God, and we need the intimacy with him to be able to know what that is. So that in the hour of weakness, we're strong. Listen up. When he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Perfect is a visual term. Right? You know something's perfect mostly by what you see. Right? If it works, you see that it works, it is. It's perfect. God is saying, you see my strength clearly when you're weak. When you're weak enough to come to me and say, I need your will for today. I need your will in this moment. I need your will for my life, because if I don't, I won't survive. I won't survive. And surviving isn't always about the grave. Sometimes it's just about the thing that the enemy has set up, where he's already talked to God about it and said, can I have this moment with this person? And he says, okay. If God says, okay, that's your moment. That is your moment. And if God says, he says, I'm doing it because I need you to see me clearly. I need you to see me clearly. Be diligent. Be diligent. This is a hard saying, but our God is true. His word is effective. It cuts down anything the enemy would desire to pull against us. The call of God on each individual is sure. The moment you come into Christ, there's a clear calling that God has for your life. You can know it. You can know it without a shadow of a doubt. You can know it. The enemy wants to make it seem like it's this pie in the sky thing, or your flesh wants to make it seem like it's this thing that you gotta go up a mountain and go here and all this other kind of stuff, like the world would like to have. Oh, I went to a mountain, I drank this stuff and had this encounter with this thing or whatever. That's not how it works. You go before God. God says, come before me boldly. Come before me boldly. It's only in that time, it's only in the consistency of it that we know his will and we stand when we need to stand. Therefore, brothers, be diligent to make sure your calling and election, to be sure of your calling and election, so that you do not stumble. Encourage each other with this word. When you see one is weak in a moment, come with them, sit down with them, pray with them, remind them of the word of God that tells us that mighty, mighty is our God. Faithful is he to save us. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We have his ability, we have the ability to be able to know his will. And we can stand when the enemy calls our number. A faithful God we have. True God in Jesus Christ. That's the only name that's effective. It's the only name that works when the enemy comes against you. I'm going to tell you, being honest with you, when I'm asked to preach, I know the enemy's coming for me. I know the enemy is coming for me. Something shifts. Something shifts, and I have to call Jesus' name more than what was normally going on. And what ends up happening is it moves. The enemy moves. The enemy moves. When you call scripture, when you say, I'm standing, and this is what he has called me to in this moment, the enemy moves. He moves. And sometimes you got to say it 3-4 times. And sometimes you got to say it once. I don't know about the ones you got to say 3-4 times or whatever, but I do know in Scripture that some withstand. He says some come out and some leave through prayer and fasting. Sometimes it takes that. I know we have a saying, it doesn't take all that. Absolutely, you better believe it. Diligent saints, the ones who stand in the moment of weakness, the ones who go before God and say, hey, look, I can't do this without you, no. A hard saying, but a true one. Saints, we win. We win. Amen? We win. We win. But the truth is, we don't win without a fight. He has not made it so we win without the fight. Seeing God in the fight is one of the best ways to be able to see it. Ask David. Ask Gideon. Ask any of the other ones. But then on top of that, ask your other brother and sister in Christ. When you saw God in the fight, wasn't it the best thing you ever seen about God? When the enemy came and he said, hey, look, I don't care what God's will is for your life. I see the lust of the flesh. I see the lust of the eyes. I see the pride of life. I'm calling you up. But then you stand instead anyway. And you say, yeah, regardless of that, my God and the blood of Jesus Christ covers me. The blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, right? We have a lot. We have everything. We have everything in Christ Jesus to do the will of God and to live a godly life. And if he takes us into captivity, if some of us are called to captivity, if some of us are called to not survive it, still the reward and still our God is faithful. He is still faithful. I didn't want to have to say that, but I think that it's necessary that I say that. He is still faithful. Despite whatever it is, because sometimes we can get lost. We can get lost in the goodness of God, right? We can get lost in the goodness of God or whatever, but do recognize we're in a war. Casualties, POWs, loss. But still we have everything we need for life in Christ Jesus. If you stand. If you stand. And if you remind your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your neighbor to stand. We have everything we need. Glory to God. Lord, you are worthy of all praise and honor, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We might as well start saying that now, because that's what they're going to be saying in the end, Father. Blessed be your name, O God. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. You are worthy to be praised, O God. Hallelujah, dear God. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, dear God. But we know that if it take a while for you to come, we have everything we need for life and godliness. Thank you that you are mighty, O God. Thank you, Father, that you have given everything and that we have the Spirit of God in us, Father, to seal us until the day of redemption. Blessed be your name, O God. Lord, we may go where may we go in the strength that only you can give, Father. And see you perfectly in the fight, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are worthy, O God, to receive praise and honor.